It's time for Breaking Chain with the Men of Valor, where we will have open dialogue with our men on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the Men of Valor on YAT Radio.
because I refuse to let the devil steal my joy. Good evening and welcome to Breaking Chains with the Mighty Men of Valor. It's a Thursday evening. I'm Pastor Rod on your radio. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, led of the Holy Spirit, we come giving you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise as we humbly bow down before you on this Thursday evening, Lord, opening up our minds, our hearts, and our bodies, and our souls to you, Father God, to allow you to let the Holy Spirit move through these airwaves tonight, Father God, to touch every soul, to touch every mind, body, to, Father God, to just be released of you, Father God. Father God, to come in, Father God, to be lifted up, Father God. You say, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, Father God. So we're going out fishing tonight, Father God. We're fishing for souls tonight, Father God. Fishing for you, Father God. Father God, for we can draw them in, Father God, and bring them to you, Father God, so their lives can be changed, their minds can be changed, Father God, so we can be focused on you, Father God, so that everything can be all about you. Today is our National Day of Prayer, Father God, and we all about praying about things to be changed in this world, Father God, in this nation, in this country, Father God, in our states, in our cities, wherever we are, Father God, that it will be all about you. Father God, we ask for change right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good evening, everyone. I pray that all is well with you and your families, wherever you may be in this world, listening by way of internet or however you are listening. May you be touched by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray that all is well with you. I tell you, it's been a busy day. We have been moving around the city for this National Day of Prayer, and it's awesome. It's an awesome move of God. And we're excited about it. It started off early this morning here in Mobile, Alabama. They have been moving to Bowen County, Mobile County, and I tell you, up in Sims. And it's just been awesome to see young people coming together to praise God. They've taken prayer out of schools in a lot of areas. But I tell you what, you can't take prayer out of people. You can't take prayer out of their spirits. You can't take prayer out of their hearts. You can't remove God from people. You can't remove God from anywhere. He is the creator of all things. God is everywhere at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So you can't remove God. The devil is trying to do a lot of things, but you know, you got to remember that God created him too, because he was once an angel. He was the ignorant one. That's why he's so stupid, because he thought he had greater powers than God, wanted to be bigger than God. He wanted to be bigger than his creator. And we have to pause sometimes and pull ourselves back, because we think that we can do things without God. We can't do anything without him. That's why the scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the word of God says. So if the word of God tells you that, how can you go against that? The word says that God be for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter who's against you. God be for you. So when God be for you, nothing can be against you, because God created all things. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, everything outside of it, in the universe, in the atmosphere, in the stratosphere. God created everything. You can believe in the Big Bang Theory, the Little Bang Theory, whatever you want to believe, because that's what they are trying to figure out now. How did everything get created? They are so confused. Scientists, they see now that the Big Bang Theory does not even exist. So they're trying to come up with something else now. So that goes to show you how man's mind is so confused, instead of them just accepting the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's what it says in Genesis 1:1. That's how it all started. So you're still trying to figure all of this out, and there's no need. It goes way, 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 way back. Millions and millions of years when everything started. You're trying to put a date on something that you don't even know. How can man put a date on something that he doesn't even know exactly when it all started, when it all began? You don't even know. You don't even know the exact date of when it started. On this National Day of Prayer that you put in existence, that people have been in praying since the beginning of time, worshiping a God that put everything into existence. So listen, listen, brothers and sisters, we have to get back on our jobs. We have to get back on our posts. We have to get back on the fence. You know what I'm saying? We have to get back on the wall, whatever you want to call it. See, Donald Trump is trying to build a wall around a country to keep keep people out, and God is telling you to get back on a wall to protect his people. You know what I'm saying? Not a wall to keep people out, but a wall to keep the devil out, to keep people protected. This is not a physical warfare. This is a spiritual warfare, and you need to understand that there's a spiritual wall that needs to go up, not a physical wall, but a spiritual wall that needs to go up, and you need to be the one that's sitting on that wall and paying attention. It's a spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters, and only you can see it through your spiritual eyes. You need to be the soldiers on the battlefield of the Lord. Oh, my God. I know that we got to put soldiers on the battlefield, on the physical battlefield, to protect the grounds that we sleep on, that our houses sit on. I understand all of that. And we salute all of our veterans, men and women, that have protected this country from the beginning up until this day. We salute you from our hearts with love. You understand? I truly do. I truly do. Because I tell you, you have a mighty work to do. We salute you from the bottom of our hearts. But you know what? We still have to salute all of our spiritual warriors too, because you're on a battlefield of the Lord, and you never get off that field either, because you are constantly in warfare. You are constantly in warfare. You never rest either. So let me tell you something. You know what? There's a national day of prayer, but prayer never stops. Prayer never stops. Pray without ceasing is what the scripture says. When I was speaking this morning, I made a statement this afternoon when I was at another church with some students, and there's a saying, fake cliche, and I said fake cliche, that is constantly heard all across the country, all over the place. People use it, and they use it so loosely, and they put it out there like it's real, and they want people to think that it's real, and they have people using it as it's real, and you are actually using it, and you think that it's good. You say that I'm prayed up. What does that mean, that you are prayed up? Like you got prayer stored inside of you that you ain't got to pray no more? And you have stopped praying because you figure you prayed up. There's no such thing as that you prayed up. You understand? Because if God figured that you was going to be prayed up, why would he tell you to pray without ceasing? The scripture says pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means that you never stop praying. You pray all the time about everything. The reason why you having a lot of problems in your life, because you ain't praying about it. You too busy thinking about it. You too busy calling your homeboy, your homegirl, talking about it. Ain't nobody praying about nothing. You too busy talking and thinking about it. You using two T's instead of one P. You understand? Two T's, thinking and talking instead of praying. All you got to do is pray about it. Take it to God and leave it there. That's all you got to do. Just give it to God. You got to be serious about it in your heart. You got to take it to the Lord from your heart. You got to stop playing with the Lord. Too many of y'all playing with God. God ain't no toy. God ain't nobody to play with. He ain't your child. He ain't nobody for you to play with. You know what I'm saying? God is a spiritual being that protects you, guides you, and leads you. He's nobody to play with. You understand what I'm saying? You got to take God serious. He's nobody for you to play with. And we got to stop teaching our children that who God is. I don't think that enough of our children knows who God is. I don't mind telling the children who God is. I really don't. I tell them all the time who he is. I love telling them who he is. And you know what? They going to always know who he is with me, because I'm not ashamed to tell them. Because God is somebody that has spared my life, saved my life, wakes me up every morning, leads me along the way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm excited about what he has been doing and what he has done. And guess what? Don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. But I pray that there's going to be a morning for me. I pray that he's going to wake me up in the morning and lead me along the way. And let me tell you something. Here's something you need to know. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when you turn all the way into the book of John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you get what I said? See, because one thing about it is that this is not to say anything against anybody. And I can read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. already existed, y'all. That's not, see, Genesis is in the Old Testament, the very first book of the Bible. The book of John is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is the fourth book of the New Testament. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the fourth book of the New Testament, it starts off the same way as the first book of the Old Testament, in the beginning. So it takes you all the way back to Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So all I'm saying is here we are just finally getting to a point where we have a national day of prayer. And down in Mobile, Alabama, in my hometown, they have taken prayer out of Mobile County Public School System. But the legislation up in all of your local state senators and all of the legislators up in Montgomery, Alabama, are voting or getting ready to vote on getting kids to stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag again. So you mean to tell me you would want children to stand up and pledge allegiance and worship a flag that represents a country, instead of standing up and bowing their heads and have a silent moment and a prayer to worship their creator? I don't get that. And I'm saying this nationally, worldly, publicly, and here I am. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And the morals in the story is crazy, because every politician, from the president, from the highest office of the country, all the way down to when you go to be a witness in the courtroom, put their hands on the Holy Bible, which you say that your forefathers founded this country on. Because, you know, me being a black man, my history goes further back than that. You know, I'm just being honest. Okay, so I'm talking about what you say this country was founded on. Christian moral values, but you have taken prayer out of schools. So I'm trying to understand your moral values here. Where did you lose your moral values at? Because you lost them when you stopped children from praying in schools, but you want them to stand up and worship a flag. So I'm saying this to you to get an understanding of I'm lost. I'm confused. I don't understand. I just don't understand that. So all I'm saying is that we have lost our morals and values. It shows on when you watch CNN. It shows when we watch the world news, CNBC, Fox News, all of them. They all are competing against each other. They all are degrading this country. They have made this country look bad all over this world. They show this country to have no morals and no values. So why should we stand up and represent a country that does not have any morals and values for itself? Our world, our national leaders don't have any morals and values for this country. So how can you frown on us when we don't want to show any morals and values towards this country when you don't? So I'm just wondering why we as taxpayers have allowed all of these leaders to sit around and do these things. We should be praying for these leaders to unharden their hearts and to get their minds and their hearts right so that they can be proper leaders of this country, because they are not proper leaders of this country anymore. We have lost morals and values in this country. They have caused us to look like idiots in this country. We actually, as taxpayers, look like we are idiots by allowing them to degrade us. You understand? They represent us, brothers and sisters. They represent us, and we have allowed them to cause us to look a certain way. And I guess it's meant for me to fly solo tonight, and I'm okay with that, because maybe I'm talking a little bit too deep for anybody to be on with me tonight, and I'm all right with that. My name is Pastor Roderick Williams. I am the pastor of Young Adults Talk Family Ministry and Sacred Words Ministry. I am the founder of the Young Adults Talk Ministry, and my dad is the founder of Sacred Words Ministry. Upon his passing, we temporarily closed down Sacred Words Ministry. But just here recently of this year, 2019, we are opening back up Sacred Words Ministry and bringing it back out, because that's what my dad would have wanted. And the only reason why it did close is because, honestly, it's hard to lose a parent. A lot of you are lost parents, but as a grown person, it's hard to lose a parent when you've been in that parent's life all of your life, and they've been in your life all of their life. So it's hard, and it's still difficult after it'll be 8 years this year, and come August, it'll be 8 years. So it's very difficult. I miss my dad. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. My dad was a very strong and powerful man, very intelligent, and he loved the Lord. So we're going to move forward in what I believe and what I know that he believed in. My dad had morals and values, and what is going on in this country today, I know my dad would not be pleased with. So I'm going to definitely make sure that I move forward in the things that he believed in too. So, you know, that's just what I believe in, because I know that he would have believed in it too. And we have to be serious. When we just have to be serious about what's going on. A national day of prayer means that we spend time praying to the Lord about things that we want changed. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have to be serious about it. We have to open up our hearts and be serious to God about what we're saying to him, and be dedicated to that. Because a lot of us, our prayers are not answered because we're not serious with him. And then we don't have the faith. Our faith is not strong. We waver in our faith. You know what I'm saying? The scripture said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We don't know which way to go. So God has to step back and let us get ourselves together when it comes to coming to him, because he's not going to force us to do anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, he never forces us, and he's not going to do that. And you have to be ready for that. And I don't know if you understand that, but I think that the best way for you to get to know who your Savior is to read the book of John. You know what I'm saying? Start at John 1:1 and read the complete book of John, and you'll get to know who he is and have a better relationship with him, and be able to be close to him and to understand him and to know who he is. And then you'll be able to know how to communicate with him and have a better relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's what I suggest that you do. It's just a perfect move for you. And that's the way I had to get to know him. You know, and it's just good for you. You know, I just suggest that, you know, just do that. And that's just a perfect thing to do. But let me get back to what I was saying. We have to do better about the people that represent us, y'all. You know, you sit back at home and you see the things on the news, you be quiet, you don't say anything, and you let these idiots represent you. You know what I'm saying? And I call them idiots because that's what they are. That's what they act like. They're spending our tax dollars fighting amongst themselves and not getting anything done in this country. Are you paying attention to that? You're sitting around getting involved in all this backbiting and all this backstabbing and all this bickering back and forth as our tax dollars are being spent, as they print up more money, putting this country in more debt, trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt, and they're printing more money every day and don't have anything to back this money up. And when they're asked, where's the gold to back this money up as far as the backing of the money? You have to have something to back up the money as they spend it. but they can't tell you where the goal is. And when they have to ask, where's the inventory of the goal? No one has inventoried the goal in years. You know what I'm saying? Actually, since I don't think right before, you know, the bombing in 2001, the 9/11 bombing. So, you know what I'm saying? Are you asking these questions or are you afraid to ask these questions? You have to be covered in the blood to be able to ask these questions. You have to be covered in the blood of Jesus to be able to not be afraid to bring these subjects up. See, I'm not afraid to bring these subjects up because these are subjects that need to be brought up. And you need to be bringing them up, too. Whether you're listening to this show live tonight, whether you archive it tomorrow night, next week, next month, next few months, next year, doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because 2020 will be here soon. You'll be getting ready to elect a new president of this country. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to be it's going to be election time. General election will be around again. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to keep letting these people push you around? Are you going to keep letting these people steal your votes? Are you going to let these people continue to tell you what the Electoral College is all about and you do nothing? You know what I'm saying? What are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's time to get up or shut up. You know what I'm saying? You know, either you're going to get up or you're just going to shut up. If you're just going to shut up, man, don't say another word. Don't say another word. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't even, you know, don't bark. Don't do nothing. Just sit on the porch and shut your mouth, honestly, because you just wasting your time. You wasting other people's time. Don't feed no negativity. Don't complain about nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no need for you to do that. I'm just being honest, because I think what happens is that if you're not going to be a part of the solution, please don't be a part of the problem. Don't be a part of the problem. Don't keep people that are trying to help people out. Don't you hold them back, because there are a lot of people out here that need help, don't know how to ask for help, don't know how to get help, and don't need you trying to do anything to hold that situation up. So a lot of you out there that just player haters, I'm just using that language right there because that's what you are. You know what I'm saying? You just hate. You know what I'm saying? You just hate on people. You don't know how to be happy. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but you know what I'm saying? You need some assistance and you don't know how to ask for assistance. So we just pray for you. You know what I'm saying? We pray for you. And as we pray for you, we lift you up. You know what I'm saying? We lift you up. But don't tear somebody else down. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That was out the New International Version. All that, in other words, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In other words, if I'm down, you come in and you lift me up. You give me something positive that's going to help me out. You know what I'm saying? You motivate me. You empower me. You inspire me. You don't say, yeah, I know that thing that can be show can push you down. You don't put something else on top of me to keep me down. You do something to motivate me and lift me up. That's what a real friend does. If you don't have people around you like that that's going to do that, you don't need those people around you. I don't care who it is. You don't need them around you. Because, see, the family is supposed to do that. Their family that put rocks and boulders on top of you, too, to keep you down. And it's because they've been through it, too. They don't know how to do it either. So we have to learn to become brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I'm saying? National Day of Prayer means that we pray about these things. We don't tear each other down. We try to motivate each other. We've all been through something, all of us. We all been through something in life, every last one of us. You know what I'm saying? I told some of the children that I counsel every day, let me tell you something. If you know somebody that ain't never been through nothing, bring them to me and tell them to come talk to me. I want to meet them. If you ain't never been through nothing, I'd like to talk to you. because you your name got to be Yeshua. Well, Jesus in the English term. I was using his Hebrew name. You got to have that name because and he went through something. You know, he went through something. He was just a man that didn't sin. He carried all our sins on his shoulders to the cross. Listen, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's us, y'all, that's us, who are called by my name, godly people, us, we his people, called by his name, we're godly people. You know what I'm saying? If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? Accept God as your creator. You are godly people called by his name, will humble themselves, bow down to him and turn to him and seek him out. And just turn to him. That's humbling yourself. And pray. You know, pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And seek his face. Look to him. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help always come from the Lord. That's seeking his face. Turn from your wicked ways. Put down your hate, your evil, your backbiting, your backstabbing, your gossiping, your judgmental ways, all of your sinning. You know what I'm saying? Just humble yourself and turn from them wicked ways. Listen, it's hard. You know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You know what I'm saying? Not calling you a dog, but I'm just using that example. It's hard. But you know what I'm saying? Try. Work hard at it. Turn from your wicked ways. Then it says, then I will hear from heaven. He listening. He waiting to hear your voice right now. He waiting to hear from you right now. He waiting to hear your voice. He waiting to hear my voice. See, stop always telling people to pray for you and start praying for yourself. He waiting to hear your voice. He waiting to hear you, her, him, them, over there. And guess what? He say, and I will forgive their sin. He waiting to forgive you. All you got to do is ask. You say you have not because you ask not. That's why you don't have it, because you're not asking him for it. You ain't asking them for it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing gets to the Father without going through me. You got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me. You got to go through him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, I don't believe in Jesus. He ain't nobody. He just an old prophet. Okay, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. He's a saint. I'm going to tell you something else. Let me tell you something. Hold on a second. Y'all stay right there. Don't y'all go there. I'm going to read something to you. Y'all still hear me, right? I'm getting something here, and I'm going to read something to you. I just had to walk over across the room and grab something real quick because I got this on my wall right here in my office. You know, I got my studio set up in my office. I got an office/studio. I wanted to read this to you. Let me say, finish doing this. He said, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. But let me tell you something. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Let me tell you who he is. Let me tell you who Lord is. You do know that Jesus is God, though, right? He had to come down in a fleshly form. He had to leave his throne in a fleshly form. Okay, let me tell you who he is. He's an advocate. He advocates for you and me. He speaks on our behalf. You understand? He died for you and me. That's what an advocate is. He put himself on the cross for you and me. Instead of having the world destroyed again, he died for you and me so you and I can have life today. My God, see, you may not have known that. You need to study to show yourself approved. I know there's the fivefold ministry, there's the apostle, there's the bishop, you know what I'm saying, there's the pastor, there's the evangelist and the teacher. But see, you need to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. You need to study your word so you can minister to the people too when they got questions out there in the streets, when the homeless man need to hear a word of God, need to hear something inspiring and uplifting. You need to be able to tell him something. You understand? When that child need to know something, you need to be able to open your mouth and tell him something. When the devil coming up at you, you need to pick up your sword and be able to use that word of God and cut him down and chop his head off like David did Goliath. That's what I'm talking about. He is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. His blood was shed just for you and me so that you can have life. That's the Lamb of God. His blood was shed for you. He's the judge. You're going to see him again on Judgment Day. he's going to judge you whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. So, see, you talking about he don't exist. When you die and when that judgment day come and when he cracked the sky and when the dead rise first and then those that are still living going to see him come back and we got to all stand before him on judgment day because he is the judge. See, everybody done seen court stories. Everybody done been before a judge or had a family member to go before a judge and heard him when he done hit that gavel. Court over, you either going to heaven or you going to hell. One or the other. You get ready. You gonna see the judge again. He the Lord of Lords. What does that mean? Let me tell you something. Here, they call himself Lords down here. You got Lord this, Lord that, but he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. See me? I'm a king. So he is the King of Kings because I'm a king. The resurrection and the life. Yes, he did. He got up out of that grave. I guarantee you, if you go where they say they buried Jesus, I bet you he ain't there. I bet you any amount of things, any amount of anything. I bet, and I ain't no betting man, because preachers don't gamble, but I guarantee you he ain't in that tomb. I bet you any of these leaders that you say you serve, any of these little small G gods that you say you serve, I bet you they in their graves. I bet you any amount of anything. Put your life on it then. They in their grave, the resurrection and the life. He got up out that grave and he ascended back to heaven because he is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. The man of sorrows. He feels your pain just like you feel it too. Yes, he does. He is the shepherd and bishop of souls. All souls ascend back to him because you came from him. He created you. He is the shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. You know what I'm saying? He is who he is. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. He is the church. He is the head of all churches. So, and you wonder, and let me tell you something about being the head of the church. We down here robbing the church. You understand? We down here thinking we all that in the church. So many, Lord have mercy. Let me just leave that alone. He the head of the church. I'm going to just say it like that. He is the head of the church. So he is watching his house. And he is not pleased with the disorder in his house. He is the master. The master. Master. And see, you hear a lot of people talking about, there you go. He's the master. See, that's that white man Bible. Okay. So why don't you go and get the Sefer, and if you read in that, just go get it and study. Study deeper, and you will understand that we are his chosen people, and you'll find out that he's faithful and a true witness. He never lies. He's the rock. He's the door. He's the high priest. He's the living water. He's the bread of life, the rose of Sharon, the Alpha and the Omega. That means the beginning and the end. He's the true vine. He's the Messiah. He's the teacher. He's a good teacher, too, the great teacher. He stood there and he taught the people. He's the Holy One. They knew him when he came into the cities. They knew who he was. He's the mediator. He stood right there for everybody. You know what I'm saying? For everybody. He mediates for everybody. He's the beloved. He loves us all. He gave his life to prove it. He's the branch, you know what I'm saying? He's the true vine. He's all that. The carpenter. He was the carpenter's son. The good shepherd. The light of the world. He told us to so let our light shine so that man may see our good works. He is the word. I just told you about John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. You know what I'm saying? The image of the invisible God. I just told you. Jesus is God. The chief cornerstone. You ever go to a church and you look at every church in the front and they have a cornerstone? You ever notice that? When you go to church on Sunday, ask your trustees, your head deacon, to take you out front and show you where the cornerstone of the church is. And ask them to tell you the history of why there's a cornerstone of the church. And see what they tell you. Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And tell them Pastor Rod told you about that. And see what they tell you. He's your savior. Why is he called the savior? Because he saved you. He saved me.
If it wasn't for him, there would be no us today. Believe that. And you say, here's something that I read on Facebook that, you know, that Bible is just, that's the white man book. But if that's the white man book, why Jesus called himself a servant then? Why was he a servant? He said he came to serve, not to be served. He called himself a servant. Understand that. He called himself a servant. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And you have to understand, you have to study author and finisher of our faith. Woo! Without faith, it's impossible to please God, y'all. All you need is just the faith the size of a mustard seed. The Almighty, the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Kind of says something, right? The Almighty. Huh? Line of the tribe of Judah. I am. That's what God says in the Old Testament when Moses went up to the mount. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he got the Ten Commandments. You remember when he went up there, right? You do remember that, right? Okay. And when Moses asked, well, who do I tell him that sent me? He says, I am. Tell him I am that I am. And you just got to study and to understand the word. Jesus is powerful. The way, the truth, and the life. We got somebody on the line. Good evening. Who is this? Hello, are you on? Okay. Well, we're gonna keep rolling. I tell you, we have to make sure that we are on board with what it is that we are doing, and you know, just study. I just need you to study, because you know, we can get ourselves caught up in situations where we don't know where we're going, we don't know which direction that we're going in, and we have to make sure that we are on one accord. That's what today was all about, getting on one accord. And I just pray that everybody did that. I don't know if you did it. I did it. I was there. I had an awesome celebration this morning, and it was powerful. And let me finish this. Let me finish this. When you talk about Emmanuel, when the angel came unto Mary, he told her that you're gonna bring in a baby boy. You're gonna have, I'm paraphrasing here, you're gonna have a baby boy, and he's gonna save the world, and you should call his name Emmanuel. And you know, Mary was shocked because she hadn't been with a man. She was a virgin. So, you know, a lot of people try to brainwash you to believe that a lot of these things are not real. So they try to make you believe that the Holy Spirit does not exist. The Holy Spirit is not real. And that's why you have to study. You have to study and make sure that you understand what everything means and that everything is real to your spirit and to your soul. Because there's going to be, see, this is the season. This is the season of things to be thrown at you, to be proven like as if they are not real. This is the season where the devil is going to try to deceive you. The season of deceit. The season of falseness, a falsehood, and this is the time of that, and you have to be very careful. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. When you pay attention to things, and that's if you're paying attention to now. That's if you're paying attention. Look at it. When you were growing up, when you used to drive down the highway, you used to look on the side of the road. You see a lot of cows, you see a lot of chickens, you see a lot of animals that are on people's farms. When you see them, when you're driving, you don't see that anymore. So what I'm saying, when I say that is that there are a lot of animals now that are being cloned. There are a lot of food now that's not real anymore. You're being deceived when you go buy groceries now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the chickens are not real now. They are not homegrown anymore on the farm anymore. man are making cloning foods now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't eat tilapia fish because you can't go in fishing. You can't go get on a boat and go cast your line out there and catch a tilapia fish. Ain't no such thing. There's no such thing as a tilapia fish out in the water. That's a man-made fish, and a lot of you didn't know that. So this is the season of deceit. The devil is deceiving you. You're putting the food that's not real into your body. That's why a lot of people are getting sick. That's why a lot of people are suffering from diabetes. That's why a lot of dialysis centers are popping up all over the country. People's kidneys are giving out. People's bodies are giving out. People are dying all over the world because of the things that this society is doing to them. And God wants you to start studying and getting back to him, coming back home to him, so you can understand what's going on, and we're not doing it. We're not paying attention to him. We're paying attention to society and paying attention to the world instead of giving our attention to God. God needs your attention. Man don't need your attention. God needs your attention, because when you give your attention to God, he's going to guide you into which direction you need to go. You need to pay attention to God. God is the only one that can order your steps. When you know what I'm saying? Order my steps. There was a song called Order My Steps in Your Word. That was a song by the Mississippi Mass Choir. I think that Mississippi Mass Choir made this song years and years ago. And it, order my steps in your word, Lord. That means study your word so the word can order your steps, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you. There are you out there that are listening that know about that. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus hung on the cross, the last thing that he said to the Father, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. When they put him on the cross and they murdered him, he still asked for our forgiveness, your forgiveness and my forgiveness, because it was us that put him on the cross. The week before he came into the city, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were honoring him as he came into the city. They were laying palm trees on the ground. They were honoring him. He rode in on a donkey. You know what I'm saying? They were honoring him as a king as he rode into the city. But they sent him out of the city saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The same people who were saying, honor him. So here we are today, still hollering, crucify him, still today. Today. Right now, today. So what is the problem? And he's still telling the Lord, he's still telling the Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. Standing there interceding on our behalf, and you still doing nothing, saying, I'm waiting on the Lord. Why are you waiting on the Lord? He's done everything in his power to do what he needed to do. He's sitting there waiting on you. All you need to do is open the door. He's standing there knocking. The doorknob just on your side, brothers and sisters. He don't have a doorknob on his side to open the door and come in. He needs you to open the door and let him in. He the one knocking. We the one that's rude and disrespectful, have no morals, have no more values. I didn't grow up like that. I may have strayed away. I may have got out there and got buck wild out there. I was worse than Nick Cannon's show. Nick Cannon's show say, wild it out. I wild out. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. You understand? I was raised up right, but I went out there and did my thing. But guess what? I came on back in. I came on in. I'm a preacher now. I serve the Lord now. I'm a college graduate. You understand? I do things now. I got things going on. You know what I'm saying? I love people. I help people. You know? So a person that don't have morals and values don't give a hot diggity dog about you. And there are people out there like that. There's some people out there don't give a hot diggity dog about me, man. And guess what? I could care less. I don't care that you don't care about me. I still love you. I still pray for you. You know what I'm saying? God be for me. So who cares who against me? I don't care. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus, man. You know what I'm saying? There's people out there that still care about me and love me. It's all right. So you need to get some morals and values about yourself. Let me tell you something now. God watching you. God watching you. But let me tell you something else, too. The devil watching you, too. That joke out there watching you, too. That devil watching you, too. He sure watching. Man. Let me tell you something. He's so watching it. Let me tell you. He told the Lord. He told God they were standing up there, and this is going on with you today. It's like God standing there and the devil standing there. And the devil talking about, God say, well, what you doing out here, devil? What you got? He said, I'm walking to and fro on the earth, looking about who I can seek, kill, and destroy. And he may have you in the crosshairs. Because every day, you're going to go through something. You're going to have a trial and tribulation that's going to try to come your way. It's up to you how you handle it. It's up to you how you're going to deal with it. It's up to you whether or not you're going to face it. I suggest that you give it to the Lord. I suggest that you don't even try to face it. If it's something that you ain't got to face, forget about it, man. Give it to God. If it's a situation, listen, we all got to pay bills. We all got to deal with certain situations. Certain situations just is a must. You know what I'm saying? Bills and all that kind of, that's a must. Okay? We got to do that. But when these old ignorant busters, you know what I'm saying, come your way, you ain't got to deal with them folks. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The Bible calls a fool. It says a fool is a foolish person that stays in their foolish ways, but a wise person seeks counsel. So if you know a person that's out here just being foolish and they're not trying to seek counsel and get some help, you better cut them off your friend list. You better scratch them off. You pray for them, but you better get from around them because they're going to pull you down. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is, because if they're not trying to help themselves, you the next person they're going to pull down. They're going to take you out next, because everybody you just can't have in your circle. You understand? Jesus wasn't accepted in his hometown. Jesus shook the dust off his feet and moved on to the next town, to the Gentiles. You hear what I said? If Jesus can do it, you can do it too. Trust that. If Jesus did it, that's giving you permission to do it. Because, see, you don't need no extra problems in your life. It's enough for you to keep your own armor on in your life. You got to keep your own armor on, because the devil trying to get to you too. The devil always trying to get to somebody, man, that's on the Lord's team. And I'm going to talk to the men just for a second, especially you men. He want to kill you anyway. He wants you out the way, especially you real men of God. See, there's some men out there that say they men of God and ain't men of God at all. They just playing with the Lord. See, the Lord going to deal with them. See, there's such thing as wheat and the tear. Lord say they got to come up together. We got to come up with them, men of God. You know what I'm saying? The men of valor, we got to come up with them so-called men of God. Them tear, we the wheat, we got to come up with them. We going to all come up together. But God going to do the separating. And see, that's what's going on right now. God is separating. He's trimming those hedges. He's cutting that tear from around that wheat so that light may shine bright. See, he needs your light to shine right now. He needs those lost souls to see your light. See, you, brother, he need your light to be seen all over this world. See, you may not think that you worth nothing, but God say you worth everything to him. You worth everything to him. You worth everything to him. He needs your light to be seen all over the world. So he's cutting that tear from around you so that wheat can be seen. He didn't say when he was going to separate it. See, we got in our own mind, like we know when God going to do things. Like we got a time, like we the timekeeper. We ain't no timekeeper, man. Time ain't on our side. We don't control no time in this earth. We don't control nothing in this earth. You don't even control your own life when you think you do. You don't even control the breath you taking right now. You don't even control the breath in your body right now. God can suck that breath out of your life right now as I'm speaking. He can take my breath right now as I'm speaking. So, see, you need to take control of your life in a way and say, God, It's all your will, not my will be done, but thy will be done. You, if Jesus say that, you better learn how to say that. Too many of y'all walking on this earth thinking that you the boss. You ain't the boss. You ain't the boss of nothing. God give it and God can take it away. So quickly, took you a while to get it, but he'll take it away just like that. I snapped my fingers. And it's quicker than that, for real. He said he'll return with the blinking of an eye. So you need to understand what's really going on. See, you got too many people in your head. God don't live in your head. God live in your heart. You better get people out your head, and you better start get back into your heart and let God start speaking to you. You better stop listening to them clowns out there. You want to listen to clowns, I suggest you join the circus and make money off of it. Because if you just going to be out here being broke and listening to a bunch of clowns, you an idiot. I said it. You an idiot. You listening to clowns being in the circus and ain't making no money, you an idiot. You may as well go and join the circus. They looking for people every day to join the circus. Walking on a tightrope with no net. Because that's what you doing. You out here walking on a tightrope with no net. See, I ain't finna walk no tightrope. I'm going to walk with God and be done with that. Because, see, I know that if Adam can walk through the Garden of Eden after he sinned, after he was disobedient to God, heard God tell him what not to do, and he did it anyway, and God still forgave him, he went and hid from God, and God came looking for him in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you, son? Where are you? If my daddy come looking for me as calm as he was and was not mad at me and still forgave me, put clothes on me, and still sent me on my way and helped me out, you think I'm finna still be acting a fool? I'm finna go seek some counsel and get my life right. I'm gonna get my life right. It took me a minute to get it right, but I'm getting it right, and I'm still getting it right. I'm a work in progress. I got a big old sign around my neck right now, say a work in progress. You may they can't see it because it's a spiritual sign. A lot of us wear it because we won't be perfect on this side of heaven anyway. We don't get our crown until we get to glory with God. And I'm going to get mine. I'm not giving up my seat in heaven for you. You can have my seat in hell because I ain't going. So see, you need to set your mind on the prize. I'm going to get my prize. I'm striving every day. I go put time in with these young folks, with these young children that's lost out here, catching hell every day. What you doing with your life every day? Out here raising hell, giving people hell? What you doing? Remember, you got a book up in heaven with your name on it, just your book. And God keeping up with everything that you're doing, every second, every minute, every hour of your life is recorded. And you got people think letting you think that ain't real. It's real. It's real. Hell is enlarging every day. There's more people going to hell than going to heaven, and that's a bad thing. You think God want that? As long as you're breathing, you got time to get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. A national day of prayer means for us to come together and pray. Means for us to come together and pray for one another. Means for us to come together and pray for our situations. Means for us to send it up to God and just leave it there. Call out on him. You know, how many of y'all did that today? How many of y'all acknowledged the fact that today was the national day of prayer? Tomorrow, everything's going to go back to normal in a lot of people's minds. It was a national day of prayer, but they still fighting up in Washington, D.C. Did anything change? I prayed for change. Did you pray for change? Did you pray for change? In this country, in this world, in your family, in your home, in your life? Did you take time to pray? It ain't too late. You need to pray every day, all day. But did you join in unison with people all over this country praying today? This whole country was the pulpit of God today. Every day is his, every day is like that, but today everybody was supposed to acknowledge a national day of prayer. If young people can do it all over the place, all over this country, you could do it too. If young people can do it, you as an adult can do it. Because we are the role models and the leaders, and we're the ones that's dropping the ball. We blame these young people for all the problems, and it's really our fault. We need to hold ourselves accountable. We too busy pointing the finger at them. It's not their fault. They looking at how we acting. They looking at what we doing and what we not doing. You know, in the old biblical days, you know, the brothers and sisters, the godly people, they would go to each other's house and break bread together, fellowship together, and have unity and love and study together. We don't even know our neighbors. We barely know who live next door. Everybody stay stuck to themselves. It's all about me, myself, and I. It ain't no unison. We have taught our children that we look the other way when we see problems and trouble. You got your children equipped and mind got them so brainwashed that they not to say nothing. You don't say nothing. You ain't no snitch. You don't say nothing. You seeing somebody getting hurt, raped, beat, stomped, whatever. You teaching your children to turn the other way, not to help people, not to say nothing. So your children figure that's okay. So when they wild out, you want to beat them. But you telling them not to do those things, but you beat them. So you wonder why all this destruction is going on around us. Because the scripture says this is going to happen. It says pride comes before destruction. And the rest of it talks about your haughty spirit. You know what I'm saying? That's all going on right now. But if you turn on your television, you go outside in your neighborhood, you go anywhere in your communities, you go around the corner, down the street, up the street, anywhere in your city, you're going to see destruction going on. Somebody's being murdered. Somebody's being robbed. Somebody's business being burglarized. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's car being stolen. Something's going on destructive. It's because of your pride. God said it. Pride comes before destruction. All of your pride, now there's destruction. God said it. I ain't saying it. I'm just quoting what God said. You're the one talking about God doesn't exist. You act like you're an atheist. And even the atheists, they don't even understand who they are. They call themselves an atheist, and they gave themselves a name because they say, we don't believe in God. There's no God. We are atheists, and we don't believe in a God. If you're an atheist, why did you call yourself an atheist if there's no God? How do you give yourself a title of somebody that don't exist? If you don't believe in God, why call yourself anything? Why even give yourself a title? Why acknowledge yourself as an atheist? An atheist is somebody that does not believe in God. So how did you even become an atheist if there's no God? That means that you believe that there is a God for real. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. You're an atheist because you don't believe in God. So how do you not believe in the God and call yourself an atheist? I'm confused. How's that possible? I know that went over some people's head, but it's okay. They call themselves atheists because they don't believe in God. So how do you get that title then? Listen, I love everybody that's listening all over this world. We have people that listen to us all over this world. I love you all. I'm here to just motivate you, uplift you, and empower you. You know, We come on this podcast to try to help teach you something that maybe you know already, something you never heard before. But this is something to try to inspire you, to spark that fire in your belly. You know what I'm saying? There are powerful preachers all over this world. And we all have a different way of bringing that word to you. But you have to be willing to eat it. You know what I'm saying? They say man can't feed off bread alone, but he needs to also feed off the words of God. I'm just paraphrasing. You got to eat the food that you feed, that you eat at the house and cook, but you also got to eat this food here too, this word of God. This is the food you need the most. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. You seek God first, he going to supply all your needs. He going to take care of everything else. All you got to do is seek him first. He going to put food on your table. He going to put clothes on your back. He going to put everything in your belly you need in your body. He going to get your bills paid. You understand what I'm saying? He going to get you from point A to B and C. He going to take care of everything that you need. There are a lot of things that you want, but he's going to take care of your needs. He said he'll supply all your needs. Listen, your daddy owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You know what I'm saying? He owns everything. There's nothing that he can't get for you. There's nothing he can't do for you. All you have to do is ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us only go to God. And no, I'm not going to say us because I'm not going to put myself in that category. I'm not going to put you in that category. I'm just going to say it like this. Some people only go to God when they need something. Oh, Lord, I'm about to get my lights turned off tomorrow. I need you, Lord, to intervene. Don't go to God like that. Your light's going to be turned off in the morning. If you only just communicate with God when you need it done like that, it's Thursday night and your light's going to be cut off tomorrow by 12 noon. Your lights might just be cut off if you just got that kind of thing with God. That's not what he wants from you. I'm just being honest. You need to have a relationship, an intimate relationship, a close, intimate relationship with God. You need to be talking to him all the time. You need to spend time with him. You need to be praying to him. You need to be studying his word. You need to take him everywhere you go. You understand what I'm saying? That's just real. I'm just being real with you. You know what I'm saying? You need to pick up Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and learn how to wear your armor every time you walk out that house. From your helmet of salvation, you know what I'm saying, to put on your shod, your feet up, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about all your armor, you know what I'm saying? Breastplate of righteousness, having your sword in your hand, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to be, buddy, you got to have on all your armor. You got to be ready. you got to be saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got to be having that 23rd Psalms. You got to go to Psalms 150 where you will sing praises unto him all the time. You know what I'm saying? You got to go to Romans 1:16 when you be talking about, I am unashamed to be praising the Lord and singing gospels unto him. And you know what I'm saying? That Romans 1:16 is what's up for real, being unashamed of the gospel of Christ, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. You got to be unashamed no matter where you at. You know, you got to be on top of that. You know, you got to be talking about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to be real about that. You got to be talking that just like that. You know, you got to be telling, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to be telling folks that. You got to be not ashamed about that. You got to be not ashamed of it. You know? People be talking about some Big Bang Theory. You come from an old mud bubble in the sky. No, you got to be telling. No, no, I didn't. You got to be turning to Genesis 1 and 26 through 29 and 30 when God created man, when he formed me out of dust and put a little mud together and formed me down there. And you know what I'm saying? Formed me out of mud. And when I die, I got the dust back. I got to go back to the dust where I come from. You better tell people that. You better tell the devil, hey, in Jesus' name, devil, you better flee. You better start learning how to talk to the devil too. You better say, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. You better start talking. You better stop being ashamed and afraid. You want situations to get up off your back? You better tell it to get off your back. When that situation seems like it's too big to move, you better tell that mountain to move in the name of Jesus. Ain't nothing too big for the God you serve. Scripture does say, at the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee. So if you constantly got Jesus on your tongue coming out your mouth, the devil got to flee. He got to leave you alone. Because Scripture does say, at the name of Jesus, every knee got to bow. And every tongue got to confess. See, you think that's a game. But see, everybody going to have to confess it. In the earth, under the earth, and in the heavens. You going to be somewhere in that realm right there. In the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. That means heaven or hell or on the earth. One or the other. Because see, when he returns, it say some people still going to be living when he returns. And they going to see when he returns. They going to see it with their own eyes. They say that trumpet going to sound and the dead going to rise first. That's in the scripture. But see, you too busy playing with God. You too busy letting people tell you God ain't real. Don't let you, don't find yourself in hell, man. I'm just being real. Well, don't find yourself in hell. Hell is real. Heaven is real. God is real. You know, there's a lot of people that was not confessing Jesus Christ is talking about Jesus Christ today. His name is coming out people's mouths that was not confessing his name. So there's a lot of conversion going on in the earth today. A lot of people being converted over. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. So lift him up. Lift up the name of Jesus. Just lift him up. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father without going through me. That's what Jesus said. Now. It's a lot of work out here to do, brothers and sisters. Stop wasting your time. Like I told you earlier, if you ain't going to be doing nothing out here to make a change, sit your butt on that porch and shut your mouth. Stop complaining, stop whining, sit back and shut up and let the real men and women of God handle their business and do their work and stay out of the way. I used to say this in the pulpit. You remember that song Ludacris made? What was the song? Move! Get out the way! Get out the way! Get out the way! Yeah, move! Oh, yeah. Just like that. Just pretend like that big truck coming down the street. And a whole bunch of us angels riding down the street. And Gabriel is driving. One Gabriel, the one. Yeah, Gabriel the one, ain't he? See, Gabriel, the one, I roll with Gabriel. He the ruthless one. I just call him. He ain't ruthless. I just, Gabriel, the one that don't play, though, you know. You know, call on your angels, too. You got angels that are assigned to your life. Call on your angels. Stop letting your angels sit around resting. They want to work. God created them just for you. You got angels in your life, brother. You got angels assigned for your life, sister. Call on them. Dispatch them to your life. so they can come and be with you. Put them to work so they can go with you everywhere you go. They can stand with you everywhere you stand. That was a story that was told a long time ago. I was a little younger. And it said that there were two young ladies. And it's a brutal story, but I must tell it just like this. And then we're going to take this quick music break. But I must tell this story. It's a young lady. She was walking home from school. And the young lady was attacked. And she got attacked walking home from school. And when she got attacked, they took her to the hospital. But her best friend went to see her at the hospital. And they never caught the guy that attacked her. And the very next day, her best friend was walking home from school. She was very afraid. And she was very scared to walk home, but she had to walk home by herself. And she didn't want to go down the same street where her friend got attacked. So she made a detour and cut through this alley to go home. And when she cut down this alley to go home, she saw these guys down there. And she didn't turn around. She just kept going. But as she kept going, the guys saw her coming, and they were about to attack her. And as she was walking, the guys saw her coming, but all of a sudden, the guys got afraid, and they moved out of her way, and they let her pass. And she was shocked as to why they did her no harm. And she went on home. But she told, when she got home, she told her parents what happened. And those were the guys that attacked her best friend. So the two guys were picked up. Long story short, when the police asked the guys, why didn't they bother this young girl here? They told the police, we were afraid to bother her. And they asked why. Said that when she was coming down that alley, we moved out of her way because there were two tall men walking on side of her. And they asked the young girl, was anybody with you? She said, no, I was by myself. And they asked them, what two men did you see? She was by herself. That young lady told the police that she prayed before she left school and asked God to send her angels. My God. Send her angels to go with her as she walked home because she was afraid. And as she walked home, Gabriel and Michael walked her home, and those two men saw Gabriel and Michael on each side of her, walking with her, and protected her as she went to her house. So all I'm going to say to you on this National Day of Prayer, that when you lay down tonight, that you make sure that you tell your Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, led of the Holy Spirit out of your heart, that you want God to send you your angels, that you will be protected, to bring you your armor, to lock onto you, that you will keep it, to increase your faith, that your faith will be strong and it will not waver anymore, that you will be strong in the Lord, and that you will stand firm on His word, and that you will continue to trust in Him, that you will continue to believe in Him, and that you will not fall away from Him anymore, and that He will forgive you for your sins, and that you will be with Him from this day forward and forevermore, because He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He will never leave nor forsake you. So increase your faith, brothers and sisters. Stick with the Lord and be with Him, because He will always be with you. Most gracious and merciful Father, We come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Led to the Holy Spirit, I ask that you order our steps. I ask that you crown us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, that you let your Shekinah glory rain down on us right now, Father God. Let your anointing oil touch us right now, Father God. That you will increase in us, Father God, all over this world, Father God. Dispatch your angels right now, Father God, in a mighty way that the mighty winds of heaven, Father God, will be felt all over this world right now, Father God, as I speak. Father God, no matter where we are, Father God, that we will feel you move right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. That spirits will be touched, hearts will be touched, lives will be changed, minds will be altered, Father God, that we will be focused on you, Father God, that our footsteps will be changed, Father God, that we'll be straight away on you, Father God, that everything will be all about you, Father God, that our iron will be sharpened, Father God, that we will be our brothers and our sisters' keeper, Father God, that it will be all about you. All about you, all about you. That our morals and values will be increased, Father God. That our integrity will be increased, Father God. And that this nation will rise up, Father God, and it will be all about you, Father God. That this world will rise up, Father God, that it will be all about you. In the most majestic name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. You be blessed. We're going to make it plain. And we're going to get out of here. I enjoyed it. You get over your identity crisis and you get yourself back together, all right? I love you and you be blessed.
There is life in our songs, healing in our wings. We are children of God. Join hands with the King. Do you know who you are? Tell me, can you see? Are you walking in your identity? Do you know who you are? Tell me, can you see? Are you
are you living?
Are you living?
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with the Men of Valor on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.